You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Hang Out, the podcast where we must be strong, we must be brave,
we must be brave.
There it is. There it is. Nailed it.
What's the part at the end where she, I feel like I was watching it today and it was just like, she has this like crazy riff at the end. It's like, I forget it, but they go buck wild.
Yeah, the we're gonna find every bit of strength that we have and never let it go.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, great, cool.
We must be strong.
This is happening. I love that. It's a great theme song.
It's a fucking bop. From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who've been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We have our next trivia night coming up for the Wilds. I know Lee is going to have some upsetting feelings about
just
this.
Just some sad feelings. That's all.
Her favorite ship, you know, won't be able to kiss, but we'll still be able to have fun and play trivia. So that's going to be...
It's just going to be me photoshopping Lee and Fatten's faces together.
I mean, that's fine.
In preparation.
But we're going to have that virtual trivia on December 15th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. Keep an eye out for the link for tickets.
We also want to remind you that we are recording in Season 6 now Patreon-only bonus episodes. So if you want to catch those, you can join our Patreon. You can find that at bit.ly/lespatreon. And our next episode is going to be coming out next week. So if you want to hear all of our thoughts on Mulholland Drive, and we had a lot of them, you have the next week. You can sign up anytime at any level. You get access to those bonus episodes. It's our fourth one that's come out in Season 6. So we are having a lot of fun in those bonus episodes. You should check them out.
Also, we want to let you all know that a lot of you have filled out the survey. So we're super happy to get started planning on our Les Hangout retreat. We will keep you updated. If you haven't gotten a chance to fill out that survey, you can still fill it out while we're planning. But we have hit the amount of responses that we need to start planning this trip. So we are so excited. We will keep you updated. You can fill out that survey at bit.ly/lestrip if you want to still get in on the fun.
In the Greater Les universe, a couple things going on lately. One of them is the new movie with Cate Blanchett, Tar, came out. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either. I've heard mixed reviews, so we'll see. Maybe it's something I'd watch tonight. I feel like this always happens. We talk about something into This Week in the Lesdom, and I'm like, right after this, I'm going to watch it. So
I know.
We'll see.
And then we finally do, and then no one gets to hear our thoughts about it. So we will both be
well,
doing
maybe
that.
It's a bonus episode. We'll see. We could put it as a Patreon bonus.
We'll see what happens. But I have seen that it's out. I've seen that people are really intrigued by it in various ways. I agree. I've also seen kind of like, you know, some hit or miss reviews of it. But listen, it's Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett, you know we're gonna watch it. I'm in. I literally don't care if it's horrible. I will watch it for her. Don't care. Also, there are two new lesbian governors. The first lesbian governors in the entirety of the United States. And we got double.
The gay agenda's working.
And we got double. And one of them, Lee, is right in my backyard.
I know. I'm
Massachusetts
so
governor, Maura Healey.
Incredible.
That was British and not Boston. But
I should have never left.
You should have never left. And also Tina Kotek, who is going to be the governor of Oregon. Super excited.
We're slowly winning. Go us. The takeover continues. Also, I'm going to read this, although I know nothing about it, but we hear there might be a lesbian relationship in Wakanda Forever. I haven't seen it yet.
I read a little bit about this. I haven't seen it yet. Of course, I'm going to see it next week.
I know. I was going to say, you see a lot more of the MCU stuff
yes,
than I do.
I mean, I'm definitely going to see it. I've heard really good things about the movie itself, but the lesbian relationship is like subtext, as they do in these Marvel movies, like where they're like, pat ourselves on the back and one of them kisses the other on the forehead. So we'll probably do a should have been
well,
gay on that.
Listen.
We'll see.
Didn't we already, have we done?
We have not done a should have been gay on Black
should've
Panther.
Should have been gay on the, what are they? The Dora Milaje?
We have not done one on Black Panther.
Is that right though? I feel like I'm messing up the name. Someone can correct me if I'm messing up the name. I think the last MCU movie I saw might have been Black Panther, so.
And I'm pretty sure we didn't get a chance to do a should have been gay, so. If there's any guests out there who are big Black Panther fans, let us know.
We can get a good
guess for that. But that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 8 of season 6 and our next installment of Les Essentials.
Les Essentials is a recurring segment on the show where we dive into classic lesbian movies or shows.
And as a reminder, we are also writing and producing and recording original songs for all of our Les Essentials shows or movies. So you're going to want to stick around to the very end of this episode for our original song for She-Ra. It's called Stay With Me.
It is a, I want to say bop, but like it's like emo bop.
Yeah, emo you know? Bop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think
it'll make you feel
emo
things.
Rip your heart out of your chest bop is an accurate. Yeah. Yeah, that feels right.
You will really have feelings.
If you like Catradora, you're gonna want to stick around. Yeah, yeah. That's all we'll say.
And if you didn't get it from the theme song at the top, for this Les Essentials, we're talking about the 2018 animated series She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, starring Amy Carrero, Karen Fukuhara, and AJ Michalka, and created by N.D. Stevenson. Super excited.
So excited. Listen, this has been oft requested, let's say.
Yes.
There's been a lot of requests. We're both big fans.
Love it.
So I'm glad we're finally here to talk about it.
We've had some really fun She-Ra trivia nights with all of you. Like,
oh my
you
God.
Know we love,
yes.
We love She-Ra. We just have been waiting for the right time to do our She-Ra Les Essentials, and it feels right.
Also, anyone who's been to our She-Ra trivia knows that, like,
Lee goes hard.
They are some of the most, that what?
You go hard. You went so hard on those questions.
I wouldn't say I went hard. I think the She-Ra fandom goes hard because y'all are intense.
Yep.
Like, intense, but they've also been some of the most fun.
It was so
trivia
fun.
Nights.
Yeah.
They're super fun. So we should do another one anyways.
Yes. Honestly, we should time it close to this Les Essentials.
Great. We'll have to check our trivia calendar because we are trying to
A League of Their Own
trivia
is probably happening soon.
I know A League of Their Own is coming up. But yeah, anyways, She-Ra trivia is great. So we're super excited to be talking about She-Ra finally. We have so many thoughts, so many things to say.
So many things. I mean, how do we even start? Let's start with the IMDb synopsis. And then maybe Lee, if you want to do a super quick synopsis of the whole show, and I will not interrupt you because I just feel like there's a lot of stuff to dive into. So I'll let you do the synopsis.
Nobody is more world renowned for their very quick, brief synopses than I am. So that sounds like a great call. What could go wrong? They asked.
Nothing.
So the IMDb synopsis for She-Ra is as follows. She-Ra, Princess of Power, leads a rebellion to free her land of Etheria from the monstrous invaders, the Horde.
Okay, cool. So
really needs at least a comma at the end there, just to nitpick. Not the best.
It's
the best
quite
we've
short
ever had
for a show that has 5 seasons. So
yeah,
clearly we need to hear more about what happens in the show. And there's also so many. One of the things I love about the show, which we'll get into, is like how many characters there are and how many characters you enjoy. For me, it's like you have, we're going to talk a lot about Catra Dora, so Catra and Adora and their relationship. But I love this ensemble cast of princesses and Bo and Seahawk.
It makes me so happy. Yeah. This so. Whole show makes me so happy. Okay, so a brief recap of 5 seasons of She-Ra, that's what we're going for?
Yep, let's go for
it. Do you want me to focus on like the show as a whole? Do you want me to focus on like the She-Ra Catra?
All right, let's just do the She-Ra Catra from start to end. That's
oh,
what
Jesus. Okay, so chime in 3 hours. Skip the next 3 hours mm-hmm. if you don't care about this. Okay. Okay, let's see how if I can do this. The other thing that's really funny is actually even before we decided that we were going to do this next, Kelsey and I literally have been rewatching the show right now.
Perfect timing.
Because it's fun, but we're only in like season 2 right now, I think. So I have to try to like remember all of the details of what happens when exactly. So to the best of my memory, people I'm sure will write in and tell us when I mess up. Okay, so we meet Catra and Adora. They grew up in the Horde together. They're best friends. They have like kind of an antagonistic sort of like friendship, right? Well, yeah, because like Adora is kind of the golden child,
and Catra is always then, second best.
Yeah, she literally like then becomes like an actual golden like superhuman
golden,
Amazon
yeah, yeah.
woman. But she's like the golden child. Catra's always kind of like overlooked, and so she gets promoted first, and Catra's kind of like being pissy about it because she's Catra and like there's some issues going on. But so anyways, they sneak out, they like go into the woods, and Adora gets thrown off their little boat skiff thing and finds this like crazy sword, and then Catra finds her and she's like, what do you mean there's no sword? So they go back, and then Adora's like, I gotta find out about that sword. So she like takes off, goes back to the Whispering Woods, goes to find this sword, discovers the sword, and that she is like an 8-foot-tall warrior woman named She-Ra, who is the protector of Etheria.
Perfect.
Gets captured by Bo and Glimmer, who are like 2 of the rebellion fighters from Bright Moon. And basically, like, Adora realizes the Horde is evil and is like, I have to join the rebellion and fight the Horde. And she's like, come fight with me, Catra. And Catra's like, fuck you. I'm going to take 5 seasons to work through my shit. Ha ha ha.
That sounds accurate. Yeah.
Boo, hiss, scratch. That's what Catra says.
Boo, hiss, scratch. Hey, Adora.
Yes. That's Catra in a nutshell, I think, is actually that. We should just make a shirt that just says boo, hiss, scratch.
Yes.
Hey, Adora. So Catra's not going to leave the Horde. And then, I mean, I don't know. That's like the shortest recap I can give of the 2 of them. It's like then they spend 5 seasons trying to like pretend they don't want to fuck, right? Like,
I mean, true. I mean, you have, right? She-Ra's trying to save Etheria. Catra's trying to prove herself to be like, I'm the best evil person. But you also
Catra's like, just love me, daddy, evil Horde daddy. Yeah. Someone just give me a hug, please. And Scorpia's like, I'll give you a fucking hug. And Catra's like, boo, hiss, scratch. Hey, Adora.
Yep. So that sounds right. And yeah, Catra has to work through the Catra works through those issues, through a lot of stuff. And like, she kills people. Like, she opens portals. She destroys worlds. Like, she does a lot of rough shit. She does a lot of damage.
She's got some damage, and she does some damage. Yes. Listen, we could just write nothing but Catra taglines all
she's
day.
She's got some damage.
Actually.
She does some damage.
Yes, right?
That's right.
I want to use that in a song somewhere. I should write that down so I don't forget.
Yes.
That's I don't know. It's like She-Ra is rebuilding the Princess Alliance, and she's like, you know, forming the rebellion, and they're getting together and making friendships, and Catra's like, somebody love me, and why does nobody ever care about me? And Shadow Weaver's like, you're disappointing. And then, you know, just everything. Poor Catra, man.
Catra has mommy and daddy issues, because Shadow Weaver is her mommy issues. And to be fair, like, I think I saw this maybe on Twitter or something that like really got to me, where it was like Catra's ultimate betrayal was that like Catra's always known the Horde was evil. And so she's like, okay, what's your point? Like,
yeah,
but you're still leaving me. Like, I mean, the whole from episode one, when Adora leaves, is like literally Catra works through her abandonment issues with Adora five seasons.
Yes.
Like, she's like, don't leave me. Please don't leave me. And then She-Ra / Adora keeps leaving her. And then she's like, all right, well, if you're going to keep leaving me, I'm going to attack you and your friends.
Well, and there's the abandonment issues, and there's also the clear, like, I have been cast aside my entire life. I think it's in season one, right, when, like, Bo and Glimmer get captured, and Adora, like, She-Ra and all the princesses go to save them, and the end result is, like, Catra, like, gives her sword back at the end, and she's like, get out of here. It's not because I like you or anything, right? Like,
yes.
Wink,
classic.
Wink. Classic. And, but then when they're fighting about it later, when they're, like, down in, like, the Light Hope dungeon... Mm-hmm. First ones.
Well,
tech,
yeah,
whatever.
Catra's like, actually, I didn't want you to come back because
I didn't want you to come back, and like that's her big thing. And so it's like, yeah, we get, and I love how they do this throughout the series, where it's like we start to get a lot of flashbacks. We're constantly getting these like glimpses of them growing up together, their childhood together, their relationship and friendship, and the bond that they had and the trust that they had built up in each other. And yeah, I mean, it's like Catra just gets disappointed and abandoned and betrayed by everybody around her, like at every
constantly.
Turn. And so, yeah, it like turns her into kind of a monster, into kind of, as Scorpio would say, a bad friend, you know?
Aww.
And so they kind of go through all these things. So it's like at every turn, like Catra's there just basically trying to be like, let's just end the world, baby girl. Like, let's just cut and run. Who cares? Open a portal, rend the fabric of reality. No big. Like, what is there to live for? Right? Like, who cares? Maybe if I do this, someone will finally notice me.
Yep. Huge. Catra's screaming for attention for 5 seasons.
Oh my God. Catra for 5 seasons is just like, pay attention to me. Here I am destroying reality. Do you see me yet, Adora? Hey, Adora. So yeah, so they do that. And then Catra sort of does like destroy reality in the sense that they pull Etheria back from Despondos, like into like back into like the real world, the stars. They're in the stars now.
Yes. So I'm like, if anyone's listening to this episode, I hope you've seen She-Ra, because it's really difficult to explain.
Well, yeah, it's so there's like the that's why I was asking, do you want the like Catra Adora story or the like lore of She-Ra story? Because I'll be honest, I'm probably going to mess up more of the lore of She-Ra story, but they live on Etheria, which is a planet. The last She-Ra, who was like 1,000 years ago, Mara, dearie. Mara lived 1,000 years ago. You're welcome. Thank you. coached by Valerie Rose Lobo.
Yeah.
So everything I know. Okay. So Mara was She-Ra 1,000 years ago, and she decided to like take Etheria and pulled it into this like pocket dimension of just like a void. So it's just like, that's why there's this whole thing with stars. They're like, we've never seen the stars because there are no stars in their little pocket universe, because it's just Etheria. It's like just their planet and nothing else. And that she like did that to like protect it.
Them, yeah.
But also it like broke everything and broke the She-Ra line. And then there was like a portal, and Adora came through the portal, and Shadow Weaver was like, ah, child. So where all the other children came from, ambiguous and unanswered, but that's fine. And so, yeah, so then they pull Etheria, they like pull it back through a portal into like the regular world, where they learn, oh my God, Hordak isn't even like the real Horde. He's just like one of many clones of Horde Prime, who's like the real big bad guy. And Catra gets captured by Horde Prime, and Glimmer gets captured by Horde Prime, and Adora and Bo and Entrapta are like, let's build a literal fucking spaceship and like go to space to save them. And then Catra's like, I'll save Glimmer for you, Adora, don't come back for me, and like teleports Glimmer onto her ship and whatever, and then gets like mind melded with Horde Prime. And then Adora's like, I'm in love with you and I'm gonna go save you anyways. And then they do, and then they save her, and then they like slowly start rebuilding building this relationship. And then at some point, Catra gets a cat. And then, like, all good lesbians, they, yep. like, get a tattoo and, like, kiss and fall in love, right?
That sounds pretty accurate to me, yeah.
Okay. I think I did great. Somewhere in there, I got back onto the Catra Adora instead of the lore of the world. And I don't know when, and I'm just rolling with
but
it.
But I feel like they also come together because, like, the finale really is, like, Catra Adora's love saves the world.
Which saves
is, like,
the
such
world.
Such a freaking lesbian. Like, when we're talking about Lescentials, this entire show is about She-Ra saving the world, right? But, like, She-Ra cannot save the world without her lesbian lover. Like, she literally does not save the... She can't turn into She-Ra without kissing Catra. Like, that's what happens at the end. She cannot transform until she has kissed Catra.
It's so perfect.
So it's, like, true love's kiss between this, like, best friends to enemies to lovers.
School for good and evil, eat your heart out.
Yeah,
what?
Right? Yes. We will get
what?
There.
Who said that?
Should have been gay.
Who ran in here now and said that?
But yeah, I mean, one of the things that I love about the show as a whole, right? This is one of the first animated series, to have this much LGBTQ rep. Correct?
Oh, it's so much. It's so much. Name a straight person in this show. Non-existent.
They don't exist. And it's not even in a should have been gay kind of way.
No.
Like,
canonically, like,
all of
gay.
These characters are gay. Like, we have Adora and Catra, who are the central love story of this entire show. Lesbian love story. We have Spinnerella and Natasa, who are, like, married queer women.
I love them. Our gay mommies.
Yeah, we have Bo, who has two dads. Like, everything about She-Ra, everything about Etheria as a place is very sexually fluid in a way that, like, is just there. Is not, I mean, I'm sure some straight people might be like, I won't let my kids watch She-Ra because they're throwing gayness in my face. But to me, they're not throwing it in your face. Like, it's very much like, okay, yeah, Bo has two dads. Okay, yeah, of course, Adora and Catra, that's the love story. They don't talk about sexuality. They just, like, let it exist in a kids show in a way that it's like people, like, I don't think it's, like, overly sexualized, overly.
No,
like,
not
it's
at
just
all.
Like, oh, yeah, these two girls are in love. And we're going to watch them for 5 seasons, figure it out.
And what I think is great is, like, it happens as exactly like you said, like, it's not sexualized. It's just done in a way that I think is actually really relatable for the age group that is, like, the target demographic of this show. Because
what do you
it's
think
just,
the target demographic age of the show is?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say maybe somewhere from, like the 9 to tweens.
Yeah,
age,
like young adult-ish.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's like, I think in terms of, like, the there's twofold, right? Because, I mean, it's like asking that about, like, shows like Bluey, where you're like, it's written for two targets, right? Like, there's the pure face value of the show that I think skews younger. And then I think there's the, like, who is a lot of the messaging, like, really going to be best picked up on, which I actually think is great for adults. Like, it's why we're rewatching this. It's such a fun show.
Yeah.
Like, we loved it. And I wouldn't say that it's like, oh, it's like watching a kid's show, you know, where I'm like, no, I think there's, like, there's different things that you're going to get from it depending on the different ages that you are. But I think that, like, the animated part of it where it's like, you know, like, we keep saying, like, especially as we're rewatching it right now, and I'm like, man, I'm so excited for, like, when the girls are old enough that we can watch She-Ra together. Because, like, yeah. I feel like once they get to a point where, like, they'll be less scared. Because, like, right now there's a lot of it that would, like, the Horde would be too scary for them, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like if they were, like, 6, 7 years old, like, you could watch this show easy.
Yeah,
right?
It says on Netflix it's 7+ is, like,
yeah.
what it's.
Yeah, yeah.
So that makes
sense. So I think that there's, like, that demographic, and I think that it's a very different show at that age than it is when you watch it at, like, our ages. Mm-hmm.
And I think also, like, the reason we're doing this as Lescentials as adults is because there's lot of adults who really enjoy the show. And I agree.
As they should.
Because, like, I remember the first time I watched it, because you know how it goes with all these gay shows. It's like everyone on our socials or, like, are like, you have to do an episode on this. You have to watch it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to sit down and start watching the show. And I binged it in like 4 days. I was like, wait, I love this show.
It's so good. Yes. And that's what I'm saying is, like, I also think it's such well done story building and such good writing when you can make a show that's going to be consumed so differently by people at different ages, like interacting with your content. Like, that's just
like,
such a
same
great...
as like SpongeBob, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Like, it's sort of a joke, but not.
But nah, right? Like, but nah. I mean, that's the thing. And it's the same way that it's like, I know so many parents who are like obsessed with Bluey. And it's like their kids like Bluey for one reason. And then the parents like Bluey for totally different reasons. And the kids are like, haha, what a fun episode. And the parents are like sobbing uncontrollably at the end of some of these shows.
I have never heard of Bluey.
Oh, really? It's like a kids show. And it's like, it's same thing. It's animated dogs. I think it's Australian. Technically, I don't remember where it gets made.
Oh, you know why I know Bluey is only because of what's it called? Of Abbott Elementary. Have you watched that show? There's like an episode where one of the kids is obsessed with Bluey, but I have no
is obsessed with Bluey. Well, so the thing about Bluey is that it's like it's a kids show, but it's also really a parenting show. And so there's a lot of things in there that are like they'll play fine for the kids, but they have really like deep heartfelt messages for parents that are actually like incredibly touching in ways that like are gonna go straight over kids' heads, but it's also still fun for kids. And then for parents, you're just like, ugh, it's like heart-wrenching. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's such clever use of mediums to do stuff like that. And I think animated series are so much more possible to do that with sometimes than like live action stuff, you know? It's so important. And I think the long-winded point I was trying to make originally starting this is that I think kids at the age that like you could start watching She-Ra at will understand feelings.
Yeah.
Right? Like they will understand, like even when you just watch Scorpia, right? Like you watch Scorpia basically have like a low-key crush on Catra for like so many seasons of this show.
And all she wants is for her to like her and you just
all
see,
she wants is for her to like her and want to be around her as much as she wants to be around Catra. And that's relatable. Even when you're 8, even if you don't have language for it, even if like you don't need Scorpia to like call herself a lesbian or call herself whatever, like you just watch Scorpia desperately like heart eyes follow Catra around being like, we're best friends, like do you want a hug? I'll give you a hug. Do you want to cuddle? Let's go cuddle. Let's make hot chocolate and like watch a movie together and just hang out and spend all of our time together all the time. And like we as adults can watch Scorpia do that and be like, oh, honey, like you've got it bad. But kids can understand that like maybe they have that with one of their friends because like 8-year-olds get crushes, man. Like,
yeah, well, and also
they're not
just, like,
sexual.
Well, and also just like even if it is platonic, that's understandable of like, I just think this person is so cool.
Yeah.
And I want to be friends with them. And I like am so overly eager to be friends with them, and maybe they don't exactly want to be friends with me back. Like that's also relatable, even if it's platonic. But yeah, I mean, there's so much. Like I think too, like even like the messages of some of this stuff, like right, like a big thing centers around friendship, right? But it's like all the different kinds of friendship, right? Even like when you think of like Entrapta and Hordak, where you have like this villain character who then finds someone who is kind to him and is like, oh, this is what it feels like to have a friend, like, and you can see like that kind of thing. But you also have like much more intense feelings of like betrayal and like all kinds of like traumatic feelings from a lot of these characters too, which is just like any point of your life you can relate to a character in She-Ra.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Well, and it's exactly what you were just saying about Hordak, too, is it's like there's so many things about it that like I get it. I know there's going to be the people who are like, boo, trying to indoctrinate my kids with your gay agendas. Like, yeah, OK, fine. But there's besides the fact that like representation is important and letting your kids see, you know, like, yeah, it's sometimes maybe you're just going to have really strong feelings about one of your friends. And that friend Could, like, it could be Glimmer with Bo. It could be Scorpia with Catra. It could be Catra with Adora. Like, there's all sorts of, like, complicated relationships and whatever. Sure, that's important. It's also, I think, really important. Characters like Hordak. What I love about Hordak's journey in this series is that there's so much, like, Hordak, I think, is one of many characters where there is, like, a really prominent theme in this show about, like, worth. Like, what is your self-worth? What is the value of people and who determines that value, right? Because, like, Hordak's not different than Catra in that respect. Like, Catra spending her whole life being like, Shadow Weaver, notice me. Hordak, tell me I did good. And Hordak's doing the exact same thing with Horde Prime, right? He's like, tell me I did good, Daddy Prime. Like, tell me I brought my little team down here and took over this planet adequately and love me because of it. And it's like, there's just so many characters in here. Like, Scorpia's doing the same thing. Like, notice me and love me, Catra, right? Like, so much of this show is so wrapped up in, like, kids getting to see this message that it's like, other people do not determine your value as a person, right? Like, that's the message that everybody in this show is learning over and over and over again. It's like, I know, I'm trying to remember what episode it's in, but I know there's, like, some scene
with Mara and Adora.
Oh, I was thinking, just, I know there's one where Adora early on, where they're like, you know, Shira, like, maybe it's when they do the Battle of Bright Moon or something, where they're like, Shira can't fight, like, the whole Horde army, and she's like, then what good is she, right? Where it's like, if I can't hold myself to this, like, extreme impossible standard, then, like, what's even the point of me? And you're just like, you know, it just kind of really reinforces, like, so many things where you're like, yeah, like, that's what your 8-year-olds need to see. Like, that's a great message for young kids and also adults, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, I feel like it is very cathartic for some adults to watch this shit too, because we, speaking for myself, grew up in a very, like, and still live in a very, if I am productive, I am good.
Yeah.
If I am, like,
capitalism, baby.
If I am helpful to others, I am good. If I am constantly working, I'm a good person, right? Like, I'm a successful member of this society. And if I sit down and, like, lay down in bed and watch a TV show for an hour, like, I am wasting time and, like, I don't matter, right? Like, that's, like, maybe a high level of it, but, like, I'm lazy. I'm not valuable if I can't contribute, right? But there's that scene. We talk about representation, about the LGBTQ community. I personally am obsessed with the representation for the neurodivergent community, for the disabled community. There's so many layers of this too. And I just, like, think of this as from my perspective of, like, I don't know if I've ever told anyone on this show, but I'll just talk about it. Lee knows this. I have fibromyalgia. I'm sure a lot of you out there also have it. And, like, for me, when my body shuts down and I cannot work, I have to struggle with a lot of emotions about that, regardless of the fact that, like, literally I just need to get in bed and sleep. My body is telling me that. But I feel like there is, like, this message that Shira says that's, like, you're worth more than what you give to others, right? That's what Mara says. You are worth more than what you give to others. Like, that idea of, like, you can just exist. You could literally be, like, drinking a cup of coffee on your front porch and, like, relaxing, and you are valuable. Like, you are valuable as a human in every aspect of what you do and when you're doing it. Like, you don't have to be the worker. Like, it's literally the Horde as, like, a metaphor for, like, constant, like, production. Like, they literally clone, Horde Prime clones himself to, like, be this,
increase,
like,
efficiency.
Yeah, like, literally to increase, like, yeah. It's insane, actually. But I do feel like it's a good message for young people to see, because hopefully they will grow up feeling a bit less of that, like, constant need to be productive, because they've seen different messaging in some of their animated shows, Shira being one of them.
Well, and also where, like, such a huge component of that is friendship what does it mean to be friends? What does it mean to be a good friend? What role are your friends supposed to play in your life? And like so much of what they like learn and teach about friendship is like the best friends you will have are the people who create space for you to acknowledge that about yourself, right? Like exactly that, that it's like, hey, I'm not your friend because of how many bad guys you fight, and I'm not your friend because of how much you do in this specific situation, and I'm not your friend because of like your dollar value on paper to someone, you know, like I'm your friend because you're great, and like you're great regardless of like what you do, what you don't do, whether you beat this enemy in battle or whether we like don't win the battle, like that doesn't, that's not, I'm not gonna not be your friend if we lose the battle, right?
Yeah, well, like, I mean, still, like, talk about like Catra and Adora.
Yes,
like the amount of shit that both of them have done back and forth to each other, and like that too is like they still care about each other.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Even through all of the seasons.
I know, and God, like some of the little moments that they still have with each other all the time, like, just kill me. They just kill me because it's like they are literally like scratching each other's like faces off and also like actively still sort of like desperately reaching out for each other in ways that you're just like, oh, sweeties, like it's, oh, honey, you know, like they're so obvious and they so don't see it. And they do, like they just they're doing that for so long in this show because it takes so long for each of them to learn that.
Yeah.
You know? Listen, do we want to get into like a deep dive on like the Horde and capitalism and Adora and Catra as byproducts of capitalism?
Yes.
And, like,
but let's talk a little bit more in depth about Catra and Adora, even though we've given a synopsis.
Okay.
Like, I want to talk like just about a few of the big moments for Catra and Adora, right?
Okay, I'm ready.
For me, I think the first, we have obviously our first episode, which we've talked about, but I think after that, one of the first big moments for them, I think, is the princess prom, which we have to talk about.
Oh God, yes.
So let's just talk about the princess prom episode as an episode, because okay. I think it's, if we're talking in less essentials about She-Ra, princess prom is like iconic.
It is.
First of all, outfits. Like, Catra in this, like, suit with a bow tie that's, like, not tied. That's a look. Scorpia in a, like, black tight dress, black lipstick, like, femme butching it up.
I adore Scorpia's outfit, yeah. I just adore Scorpia, let's be real.
Scorpia is perfection. And then, I mean, we just have, like, right, like, Catra and Adora have split ways. Catra's made it very clear that she's coming for the princesses, right? And so when Catra gets to Princess Prom, Adora's like, oh, shit. Like, Catra's up to something. But, like, I love the fact that, like, Catra uses the fact that Adora's obsessed with her to do evil.
Yes.
In that episode.
Yeah, because she knows. Because she knows, she's like, I am your weak spot. Like, you're yep. going to be so distracted by me that, like, you will pay attention
to
nothing else.
And, like, they have this scene where they dance together. right? Like, that is iconic. There's just like this, well, Catra is a cat. And I feel like Catra's more, do you think Catra's more the cat or the mouse in their little game? Or both?
In Princess Prom?
In Princess Prom, she's the mouse.
No, I would say in Princess Prom, she's the cat.
But
I feel like it switches like throughout the series.
Yeah, yeah. Their cat and mouse game, like, literally is just like back and forth constant. And then, yeah, like, literally but they also, like, it reminds me a little bit of Kim Possible and Shego. It's like, there's many times. So in Princess Prom, there's a point where Catra is like about to fall off the side of a cliff and Adora saves her.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like they fight. But when it really comes down to it, like, they don't want to actually lose each other.
And they do the same thing. It's one of my favorite, like, one of those tiny little moments. Again, because I think I do love animated shows so much because there's so much intention behind everything. And they mirror that scene right away in season one in one of the episodes. The episode where they are sort of down in, like, Light Hope's little
where they're going through the
dungeony thing. When they're going through the flashbacks. And they do the same thing. Adora starts to fall backwards off a cliff. Catra reaches out and grabs her hand and, like, pulls her back in. And she's like, she says again, she's like, it's not because I like you or anything. But as she turns and walks away, her little tail brushes Adora's hand. And you see Adora, like, look down and smile at it. And I'm like, so it's not, it's animated, right? Like, somebody had to draw that interaction happening. Yes. Like, it's on purpose. But I just love that they give them these little, like, you know, even unconscious, like, does Catra know that she did that? Who knows? Like, but she's like such a little cat about it. You know, she's just like, This is the boo, hiss, scratch, hey, Adora, and then purring section.
Well, in that entire episode, if we talk about the flashback episode, we see them as kids.
Yeah.
And you can see that, like, from the beginning, they have been best friends. And that's what's, this episode is one of the more painful episodes in the Catra Adora timeline.
Oh, I know. It's some of the, all of the ones where they do the flashbacks, they just, like, ugh.
And I'd love that they do the flashbacks because otherwise, I mean, we still see the connection between Catra and Adora, but, like, showing those flashbacks really makes you empathize with Catra more.
Yeah.
To the point where you're not like, okay, Catra's evil. Like, I don't want her with Adora. You're
like, no, it humanizes her. Yeah. Which, you know, funny thing to say, given that
she's a cat.
Humanizes her. It gives you, like, this insight into her baggage, her pain, her trauma, like, all of that trauma that Catra's, like, lugging around endlessly in this show.
Well, and you have that scene between the two of them where it's like they're little and Catra's crying and Adora comes up to Catra and is like, it's okay, like, no matter what happens, like, we're gonna always, you've got me and I've got you, like, we're gonna take care of each other and basically, I will never leave you. And then Catra's
like, promise? You promise? And yeah. Adora's like, I promise. And their little tiny faces and they got little pudgy hands and they're like just holding each other.
I know.
I can't.
So adorable.
I can't.
And also so heartbreaking because then Catra's like looking at that memory and she's like, oh, they're having moments there where they're like underground and they're like holding hands accidentally or like having these moments where it's like, oh, maybe things can be okay between us. But then Catra's like, no, because I love you and you left me. And she literally lets Adora drop into the pits of hell. And she's like, I'm getting rid of you because you're my weakness.
It's rough. It's a lot. And it's like, I mean, the thing is I know there's a lot of people out there who are like not behind the Catradora ship. And I get it. I mean, like, they're toxic AF. Like, it's not great that is valid, right? I mean, like, Catra goes off the deep end in this show. Like, she literally loses her mind and she is like, burn all bridges, like, allegiance to nobody. Life is meaningless. Burn it all to the ground. Just, you know, like, just, I'm picturing, like, Catra half, dark arm scratching down the wall. I mean, yeah. Like, she goes absolutely insane, like unhinged, off the deep end.
And the amount of things that she does to directly harm Adora, and Adora at the end just like forgives it all. I feel like when I first watched She-Ra, I think I was messaging you and I was like, I'm like, I don't know if I can really get behind this. I'm like, I understand this is an enemies to lovers trope, but like, there's a lot of shit that Catra did. That it's
there's
like
a lot. Well, and listen, it's funny for me because like people are gonna come after me so hard, but like secretly at heart, I think I'm still actually a Glimmerdora shipper. Don't tell anyone. Okay. Well, don't tell anyone, she said on her own
just
podcast.
Told everyone. Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of like, I all series was like, there was something going on with Glimmer and Adora. That's all I'm saying. It's fine. But I get it. I mean, the thing is like, I feel like it's easier to try to make that character forgivable. Like the type of character that Catra is, I feel like in an animated show, you're able to forgive a little bit more because so much of the violence is also sanitized a little bit,
well,
you know,
because it's also like magical violence kind of, right?
Right. Like, and it's like people don't die. They just sort of like, oh, I like knocked out all these soldiers and then like their friends drag them away and then they all run away, you know, like there's a lot less of like, I feel like if you'd had a real show or like a show geared only towards adults where it's like, I've watched 5 seasons of Catra just straight up murdering like
everyone.
Hundreds and hundreds of good people. And like, I feel like us as adults, like we are filling that in for the show, even though it's not showing that happening. So it's like we are projecting all of these like atrocities onto her in a lot of ways. Because realistically, you're like, oh, they fight. Oh, they've like, you know, had a cat fight a couple times. And yeah. And then you're like, unforgivable. But
yeah. But also, I mean, like, she did drop her into the abyss and like she expected that she would be dead.
Yeah, I know, like, but no one died. No one dies.
But she
really
didn't
in this
die,
show,
right? But I'm saying,
except
like,
for Angela, R.I.P.
Yeah,
R.I.P.
In Catra's mind, she's like, I just killed Adora.
I know,
and that's okay with me.
But we know that, right?
Yes.
Like,
but so
we
like,
know that because
so I feel
that
like for me, there's like a tricky,
that.
There's a tricky balance between the two of them. But I do feel like they do a good job with Catra's redemption arc. I just feel like, and maybe it's just because the show is 5 seasons long, right? Because her redemption arc really only starts in season 5. Don't you feel like?
Her redemption arc. I feel like season 5 is her redemption season.
Yeah.
Right?
So you see her for 4 seasons.
Yeah.
Like, just being, like, the villain. And
but it's
a
also,
relatable
but
villain.
The,
I do feel like they make her relatable. You understand why she's doing what she's doing. And then you also, like, get that, like, okay, Catra's not the villain. It's Hordak and Shadow Weaver. Oh, actually, Hordak and Shadow Weaver are not the villains. It's Horde Prime. There's a bigger evil.
There's this constant escalation.
Of like, oh, don't worry. Like, they're not. But I also feel like this is getting way too complicated, but I think it's important to talk about is I believe that people should be given second chances. And I do believe that people are not like defined by their actions 100%. But I do also feel like trauma doesn't excuse actions. It can explain actions. But if you're not like truly apologizing for those actions, then the trauma, like, I don't know. I just see a lot of like in my personal life, I see like my friends dating people who have like a lot of trauma who treat them in a way that's like not great.
Yeah.
Because of that trauma. And then
this
you're
this is the problem with oversimplifying the type of show that this is, right? Because obviously the thing is like we as adults know that when you have somebody who has as much trauma as Catra has, that you're like, yeah, I'm sorry, but like, you know, a few episodes of like doing the right thing, like that's not enough. Like, you need therapy, babe. You need some help. You need time. You need to like find yourself and work through your shit first. And like, probably you're rushing into this. Like,
yeah,
we know that as adults. But it, at its heart, it is a kid's show. And so it's like, you have to let go of the fact that we're like, but I know better. And like, don't date her right now, Adora. She's not ready for you. Like, she's still coming out of all of this baggage. And like, yes.
But on the other side of that, I also appreciate that, like, where it is, like, just because someone has all this trauma does not mean that they still are worthy of love. And so Adora still loves Catra through all that trauma. But it's just like difficult to be like through the trauma, but also through the hurt and the harm that she has done to Adora and her friends. So it's like, you're just like,
the real answer is like, let's just all get some therapy.
Agreed.
We're all going to be fine. Catra really us and Catra are all going to be okay.
Catra will work through it in the song at the end.
Oh, but Catra.
Let's talk about, I know. I do love Catra. Like, that's the thing. I love the character. It's just like very complicated. But let's talk about Catra's redemption arc.
Okay.
So we have Catra. It's like a back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Then in season 5, we get the redemption arc, right? Which is really that Catra is like, I'm going to save Glimmer, right? And also, in the end, after everything, Catra stays with Adora to save the world. Like, Adora is going to sacrifice herself for the world, and Catra's like, you don't have to do it all by yourself. And then it's like, and I do think that when you get to the end of it, if we hadn't had so much of this in the middle, is like a beautiful love story ending.
That, listen, that final scene, the two of them, like that scene with the, like, Adora slowly succumbing and Catra's whole, like, the speech and the everything and, like, the, like, okay, listen, just the voice acting in this show is fucking bonkers good, right? Like, so fucking good. And that whole scene and her whole, like, please, just this once, stay. Like, I mean,
rough.
Eat your fucking heart out. I mean, it's just, it's a lot. And it's so good. It's so good. And then they kiss. And it's like, especially, again, like us as adults who have been watching this show where they're like clearly in love with each other this whole time. But it's a kid's show. And watching the show, because I was watching it when they were coming out, and like I honestly believed that we were going to go the whole time and just be like, and then they hug and it's fine.
Yeah.
And like they give them that kiss and then they turn like ice, just fucking glowing rainbow. And you're like,
yep.
What? Amazing. I mean, like, it's for us as like gay adults, like what a fucking payoff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Unreal. I mean, just unreal to have, to have that be the like world saving climactic like peak of this show is like, yeah, your two gay like leads finally kiss and turn into a shining beacon of rainbow light and heal the world. And you're like, okay,
I mean, sure. And too, like I said, it is like Adora / Shira. Her whole thing that she has to work through, I'm not saying she doesn't have any shit she has to work through, is that she's always like, I'm the savior of the world. Like, I'll do it by myself. I put the entire weight of the world on my shoulders. And like,
yeah,
it, I don't really like, she does, in a way, in her selflessness, she is very selfish.
Yes.
Right? And so that's like that juxtaposition. But then to have Catra come in as this like partner to her who's like, you don't have to do it alone, that's a really powerful ending for that character, for Catra's character, first of all, who's like has abandonment issues, and then she's like, I'm, instead of cutting and running, I'm choosing to stay. And then for Adora, who's like, I always do it by myself, and she lets Catra help her, is like a pretty powerful like relationship moment.
Well, and let's talk about like the I'm sorry, we're going so fucking hard on this show. We're not gonna stop.
No.
But let's talk about like the growth of Catra. Catra who has like 180'd her way from like burn the fucking world down, rip it apart from like the seams of reality, because who even fucking cares, to Catra literally watching the world actively ending and being like, not only is the world worth saving, but it's not worth saving without you here with me in it. I require both the world and you. Thank you very much. Yep. So like, cut this bullshit out right off the bat. Like, get back here and let's keep the world alive together so that we can live in it. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, it's a lot. Like, and it is, I mean, I get it. It is hard to like capture that amount of growth enough with what you get to, like, with the time that they had to do it in. But, like, I think they gave it their best shot, and, like, I'm not going to hold it against them that, like, that's how much time they had to tell what I think is, like, a really well-developed, well, like, well-done story arc of, like, all of the, just, like, so many things going on with, like, you know, like, the world building and the lore and the first ones and the languages and the this and like the constellations and the sky and the, yeah, I mean, like, they had a lot to do. I'm gonna give them the pass on it.
Yeah,
I can't, I'm like, what are you gonna say? Like, how often do we get this well done of like a full story, you know?
I won't hold the grudge too much, because I do think like they have a beautiful story arc towards the end. And too, like, even there's like other moments in season 5 before this. Like, there's that one moment when like Catra jumps on Adora's lap. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's just, yes, like little, yeah, moments, yeah, where you're like,
yeah,
these two characters from the beginning have had such, they just have such good chemistry together. Like, yes, they're animated characters, but like, you see like this ease between the two of them. There's like so much more to them than even just these 5 seasons too, which is also, I think, what we need to keep in mind, like, why, yeah, the flashbacks are so important. Like, also, like, I think as I take a bit more look, like, how old they're teenagers, quote unquote, right? They're supposed to be teenagers.
Yeah, I think I feel like I always lose track of what age they're all supposed to be, because they start out where, yeah, like, Glimmer's still getting grounded. Like, I feel like in my head I picture them being like 16 when the,
yeah,
series,
I think they're teen,
starts,
because there's
something.
Also a moment in Princess Prom where Fasta's like teenagers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About all of them. So I'm gonna say they're like 16 at the beginning, right? So they've known each other since they were babies. So, like, okay, 16 years of, like, ground building, friendship building. Then let's say, like, 4 years where Catra goes buck wild off the deep end. And Adora's like, but I still love her and I still know who she is not, yeah, what she does. And then you finally get this redemption arc in season 5. Like, then I can be like, okay, you know what? 17 years of good Catra. You know, she's still a little chaotic, but quote unquote good. And 4 years of her destroying the world, like, you know, maybe we can weigh those out differently. This is my evolution of trying
just
to think.
Just her little rough patch, you know?
Yeah, she just a little
end of the world rough patch. It's fine. We've all been there.
Just a little, like, portal rough patch, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
That's it.
Listen, who didn't in high school just, like, briefly try to end the world, you know?
Like, exactly. And, like, okay. And she has someone who loves her unconditionally, even when she does that. So that's, like, it's sort of beautiful. But yeah, crazy shit. Crazy shit.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I know we could spend the next, like, 4 hours talking about Catra and Adora.
You're right.
Let's talk about, like, some of the other things. Because we talked about there is, like, so much representation. And I think one of the things that's great is when you have a show that, like, A, like, yes, the showrunner and creator is queer, right? It's always hard to talk about it like a show when it's all done. But when you have, so like Nate Stevenson, who was the show creator, and I know a lot of the rest of the team as well. Like, I think a lot of the writer's room, I think a lot of the team associated with it. Like, when you get a whole team of queer people together, you tell authentic stories, yep, right? And you tell authentic stories that also just had, like, so much representation. I know you talked about some of them at earlier on, yes, in the episode, but I just think it's worth mentioning, like, some of the other things that we want to highlight in terms of, like, the amount of characters who either, like, canonically date same-sex people or canonically mention having dated, like, both, like, same-sex and
honestly pretty much
partners.
Everyone, like, I don't,
yes,
there,
like,
is,
almost everyone.
It's very difficult to find a straight character in She-Ra, which
I want to say, like, Angela is, like,
yeah, probably Angela,
probably, like, the straightest person in the show, right?
But yeah, even, like, what cracks me up is, like, Seahawk, who, like, is dating, yeah, Mermista and is, like, so obsessed with Mermista for so many seasons. And then you find out, oh yeah, so Seahawk also dated Falcon in the past, who's, like, who's a man, right? Like, and Seahawk's just like, yep,
Seahawk,
of course I'm bi.
Seahawk and Mermista as, like, two chaotic bisexual, like, just nonsense. I love their relationship. I love the two. They're, like, two of my favorite characters. Mermista has some of my favorite lines in the entire show. Just both, like, the writing and also the delivery of them. Like, I fucking love Mermista. So much. Just so much. When you were asking me for like what are the highlight episodes to like watch to, you know, like
to get ready.
Kind of like jog your memory for like some of the high points. I just want you to know it took everything in my power because I was trying to give you a short list not to suggest the Mermysteries episode because
what a great episode.
It's so unnecessary to watch it to like, you know, come back to like talk about the show, but it's like one of my favorite episodes in the whole series because I love Mermista so much.
Well, that's what I was saying too. It's like the ensemble cast is just perfect. Like,
oh, they're
every
so
character
good.
Is like different and interesting.
They're so good.
And then you have like Perfuma, who dated Bo and then also is now dating Scorpia, and they have such a cute little relationship because they're just both like love and light.
Yeah.
And perfect. And you have too, like I already said in the beginning, like married queer couples too, right? So you have like George and Lance, who are Bo's dads, Spinnerella and Natasa, who are just like married princesses.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like Spinnerella and Natasa have really beautiful moments.
They do. They're so cute.
They're so sweet together.
And I love when you first really get to like meet them a little bit more because they show up a couple times in season one and they're just sort of like, yeah, you know, they're sort of like the throwaway joke of like, yay, Spinnerella and Natasa are here. Like, we don't even know what they do still. Like, what do they offer?
Yeah.
And so then they have that scene where they show up and they're like, you don't even know what we do you? And she's like, Natasa. Like, I toss
nets.
And like, Spinnerella's like, and they're beautiful nets, dear. And you're like, yeah, they just have like, just pure like old married couple energy.
Yes.
I love it.
They really do. And to like old married energy and then also just like, such deep love where you're like when anything bad happens to one of them you're just like, oh my god, no, like save
our moms.
They're so cute and sweet. And then you have two, Scorpia was raised by two moms, so like we don't ever meet her two moms, right? But like you see a picture of like baby Scorpia with her two moms and like it just feels like that's just all over, right? It's like, it's just a thing and it's there and it's fine. And then you also have like, I don't know if this was confirmed in the episodes, but Nate Stevenson confirmed it in an interview that Lonnie, Rogelio and Kyle are in a throuple together.
Yes. I mean, obviously. I mean, clearly.
So you also have like a little bit of an exploration of polyamory there.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're not like exploring it, but
there's also like, I feel like Double Trouble was such a refreshing character to have because I feel like we spend a lot of time talking all the time about like in, you know, things like the X-Men or like any sort of movie or show or whatever, like shape-shifting characters where we're like inherently queer.
Yes.
Like there's just an inherently queer energy to being able to shape, like even in fucking Encanto, right? Where you're just like gay. Like if you spend your whole life gender fluid, being able to take on the, you know, shape and gender and look and whatever of like anybody, like how would you still remain like
How do you not identify that? That is like the definition of gender fluid.
And so it was just like so refreshing to see Double Trouble and see them have a character that is clearly non-binary, not just in the sense that they like shift their gender based on who they are being, whatever, but where like it is always explicitly that like they are a non-binary character. Like Double Trouble does not have a gender. How could they?
Yes.
How could they?
Well, and also like, in terms of like representation, also portrayed by a non-binary actor.
Yes. Yeah. Right. But just like same thing, like when you talk about things to like have your kids just sort of like normalized at these ages for them, like just having a character where it's like, yeah, that's Double Trouble. They're a character. They use they them pronouns. Everybody around them uses them correctly without any second thought or discussion or anything. It's never once brought up explicitly. It's not ever really like discussed. It's just that is what it is. They are a character who is non-binary because they do not have a gender.
Yep.
Amazing. Just and the fact that like that in and of itself just seems so like mind-blowing, kind of sad in a lot of ways, you know,
but
that,
also like this is the first non-binary character in an animated series is Double Trouble, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
So like also just She-Ra in general had so many firsts, like so many just like, and I feel like because of that, I mean, we talked to Zach from Dead End Paranormal Park And it's like, She-Ra came out in 2018. Dead End Paranormal Park just came out this year, 2022. And like in those 4 years, the difference that you could have in an animated series is like exciting, because it's not going to be like, they're not going to be firsts anymore. You know, so like, it's just like, okay, this is a new show. We want to watch it because it's a cool show and we like what it's about. And like the gender identity or sexual orientation of your characters is like secondary to the plot, but still like you have a diversity of that in your animated series. I love it.
It's so important. It's just so important. I just honestly, it's really hitting me as we're rewatching it right now that I'm just like, I want the girls to like be a couple years older so that we can like start watching She-Ra. I'm just like, I'm so excited.
I know.
Like, it's just one of those things where I'm like, I'm so excited to like get to watch this with my kids, because it's just like, I just keep thinking back to like some of the cartoons that like I watched growing up, you know?
Like, what? Like, what were the cartoons you watched when you were growing up?
Like, I remember watching, like, DuckTales and watching, like, Rescue Rangers and watching, the problem is I keep having to remember, like, what are all the English names of these shows, but, Gummy Bears, is that what it was called in English? Did you ever watch Gummy Bears? And they used to drink their little potion and they could bounce everywhere. Anyways.
Care Bears?
No, not Care Bears. Gummy Bears.
I don't know Gummy Bears. But yeah, I think you're right. Gummy Bears is a cartoon. I don't think I've seen it.
Okay. Well, when I grew up, we called it Legumi because it was in French. So anyways. But they used to have a little potion. They'd bounce everywhere. I don't know. It's just like all of these shows where I'm like, they're just... It's not that there was anything wrong with them, but the representation was non-existent. You know?
No. I was talking to someone about the shows that we used to watch as kids, and I'm like... There was something about my generation in particular that had the weirdest, I don't know what it was, but like people were like, hey, let's make cartoons as like drug fueled as possible. Like that's what it felt like. Like I
like Animaniacs.
Yeah, like era, Animaniacs, yeah. Cat Dog.
Yeah.
Like Ren and Stimpy.
Well, and also, yeah. Like, Ren and Stimpy. I feel like the beginning of like the SpongeBob era of shows. Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't even know what those shows were about. Like, if I watched them again right now, I would feel like I was tripping.
It's like an acid trip kind of experience to watch a lot of them.
Yes.
See, and that's, I feel like those were the shows that I watched when I was like a little older. Maybe I'm going too far back. I feel like I'm naming a lot of the shows that I used to watch when I was
like
5 or 6 kind
of
ages.
Some of them are good, like some of the Disney Channel ones, like Kim Possible was more my generation.
Kim Possible
was
great.
Totally Spies.
Yeah.
Like Avatar Last Airbender. Those ones were good. But then there were like these just subset. If you're a 90s kid, let me know, because you know what I'm talking about. Like,
no, they were weird shows. They were weird shows.
Insane.
And it's funny because it's like when I see Animaniacs stuff, like I get nostalgic about Animaniacs. But if you ask me really like what happened in that show, like do any of us actually remember?
Powerpuff Girls? That's a good one. Like, but I think still
what
crazy.
What happened in the Animaniacs?
No. I could not tell you like the plot of any of these shows. Courage the Cowardly Dog. That was a freaky one. there's one more that I need to remember because it was so weird.
No, I know what you're talking about. Real Monsters.
Real Monsters.
Yeah, I got you.
Damn, there were some freaky
shows.
That was a weird show.
I used to watch that too. And that was weird.
Yeah, there were some freaky shows out here.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to take a trip down memory lane and watch these crazy shows.
I bet we could do some Should Have Been Gays on some of them.
Pinky and the Brains should have been gay for sure.
Yeah. They're honestly, Animaniacs. I feel like they all have queer energy.
Yeah. But we digress. let's get back to the show at hand. Our point is the representation has dramatically changed in terms of who is represented in our animated series. And She-Ra was like the most gay. Like, this is a very gay animated show. Just like so gay.
Yeah.
And one more thing that I want to talk about before we can wrap up after this, but I mentioned it briefly before, but like Entrapta as a character, I feel like makes so many neurodivergent people feel seen, because Entrapta is clearly neurodivergent and like they really, I think she's friggin' awesome. Like, she's so smart. Like, honestly, like, can do so much. So lovable. Like, you see her, like, as just, like, I find her to be one of the most endearing characters in
She
She-Ra. Is.
She also, like, some of those scenes where, like, the way that they use Entrapta's sort of, like, different perspective on what's happening as the people around her on things. Like, the scenes where they first capture her and she just keeps coming out of her handcuffs to, like, show them stuff and then being like, oh, right, and, like, going back in the handcuffs. Because she's like, you seem to care about this for reasons that are a mystery to me, but I guess you want me to be in these handcuffs, so here I am.
Yeah.
And then she'll be like, oh, a first one's tech. Let me come show you. And then they're like, how did you, oh, right, and, like, locks herself back. And, like, they're so good. It's such good little moments, like, such good little bit things that, like, they just keep doing, you know?
Yes.
Like, I love it.
I'm obsessed with it. But yeah, I mean, She-Ra as an animated series, I'm assuming most of the people who are listening to this have already watched it. Do a rewatch because it's worth it. And, like,
oh,
if you haven't watched it, it's highly, highly, highly recommend that you watch it. Like, great storytelling, great character development. Super gay, which is why we always will recommend For Less Essentials. And let us know what you think about the about Catradora. Let us know what you think about all the ships in here. I hope we did not offend anyone with our analysis, but those are my thoughts on She-Ra.
If we did, we wrote you a crazy Catradora song.
You're gonna love the Catradora song, so don't worry. All right, is it timely?
It is. I need one more question though, so hold on.
All right. It is time for our Q and Gay. Let's do it.
Q and Gay.
Question number one. Which powers would you want? A, sparkles / teleportation. B, control the sea. C, snow or ice. D, control nature.
Oh, man. I don't know. It's like a part of me wants to go control the sea, but also the teleportation would come in so handy. So I might have to vote glimmers, sparkles, and teleporting.
No She-Ra option on this?
Listen, I had to narrow things down.
That's
okay.
I think I would.
Yeah, the She-Ra make my sword into a mug option is really what I'm going for. I just really want a mug when I need one. Okay.
Yeah, we all need them.
Okay, question two, Ellie. Which princess would you most want to date out of A, Adora, B, Glimmer, C, Mermista, or D, Perfuma?
Very good question. I honestly have to go with Mermista. I like
she wins you over.
Yeah, like I like the sarcasm. Like I feel like there'd be some fun banter. I'm here for Mermista. Yeah.
She's just so funny.
Yeah. All right, question number three. Which villain would you most want to date? A, Catra, B, Shadow Weaver, C, Scorpia, or D, Hordak?
I'm of the opinion that there's only one right answer to this question, and it is Scorpia.
Also, like, is she really
Scorpia.
A villain?
I mean, listen, I wasn't going to put, like, Horde Prime on here, so I went with Scorpia.
Yeah, Scorpia's a great
I could have put, like, Huntara or something, I guess, in which case I probably would also choose Huntara, but I love Scorpia. I would, like, just protect Scorpia at all costs. I love her so much. She's just a big teddy bear, and I love her.
She is.
Okay, question four, Ellie. What was the weirdest animated show from your childhood? Out of A, Animaniacs, B, Smurfs, C, Ah, Real Monsters, or D, Ren and Stimpy?
I feel like it has to be Ah, Real Monsters. Like, that show was freaky.
It was weird.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what it was about. I just have those memories.
You just remember what they all looked like, and you're like, what were we watching?
Yeah, I'm like, what was I watching?
So true.
All right, final question. Question number five. What's your favorite She-Ra episode? A, Princess Prom, B, Mer Mysteries, C, Whiteout, or D, Heart Part 2?
Oh, man. Listen, it's so hard. Whiteout is fun because I do love the Adora, like, you know, infected by first one's things episodes because she's hilarious. Because I think Whiteout is the beep, boop, 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 boop one. And that is great. But like, and Heart Part 2 obviously has the great like rainbow kiss. I'm here for it. But like, Mer Mysteries, man.
That's it.
Mer Mysteries. It's such a good episode. It's just got everything.
It's got Mermista. That's all you care about.
And mysteries.
That's
you know?
It.
That's Listen, what more
me,
could
it's
you
Princess
want?
Prom. That I just feel like it's just so like.
It's also a great episode.
It's a great episode. Yeah,
it is. They're all good. Ugh,
love She-Ra. What a beautiful gay animated series. Remember, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q and Gay questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod. We also have, of course, drinking game rules for She-Ra, which is honestly hilarious to me. So here we go. Here are the drinking game rules.
Okay, now buckle up, everyone, for our drinking game rules, because once again, we do not promise that these are survivable. So please live tweet us, message us if you're going to try these out. And especially when you're doing these with shows, you know, pace yourself, take it easy, be safe out there. Here are drinking game rules for She-Ra. Number one, anytime Catra says, "Hey, Adora." Number two, anytime Adora says, "For the honor of Grayskull," and nothing happens. Number three, anytime the Princess Alliance glows rainbow. Number four, anytime Adora gets drunk, infected by the First One's viruses. Number five, anytime Scorpia gives someone a hug. Number six, anytime Seahawk hits a falsetto. Number seven, anytime Madame Raz gets confused about time. And number eight, anytime Bo creates a new arrow. Have fun out there, everyone. And remember, stick around to the very end of this episode to hear our original song based on Catra and Adora's story in She-Ra. It's called Stay With Me, and you're going to want to listen. That's all I'm going to say.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 well, yeah.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community, and we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we want to shout out someone who reached out on our Instagram, who said that they are a new listener. They were up to episode 5 by that point. So, Camila, thank you so much. We're so glad you found the podcast. And in 3 or 4 years, when you get to this episode, you'll get to hear your name.
Yeah. Also, I think she also was like, congratulations. So thank you for the congratulations, because you're right. Congratulations on a podcast that has lasted for 6 seasons. And
yeah, you got a lot to catch up on.
You got a lot of stuff to come, Camila.
I'm so excited for when she finally gets here.
I know, me too. Which is going to be also like, people tend to binge. So I'm like,
that's true.
It could either be 5 days or 10 years.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We're excited to find out.
Yes. We would also like to shout out everyone who came to A League of Their Own trivia. We had some incredible costumes. You all are experts, and we can't wait for the next one.
Can't wait. We have so many questions, so it's happening.
Yes.
And as always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
A.B. Benitez,
and Fiona W.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Doucette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all so much. We could not continue making this podcast without the support of all of you and all of our patrons.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Let's Hang Out Pod.
You can email us at letshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at letshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they drop every week.
We're also posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/letshangoutpod to catch them.
Let's Hang Out is an independently produced show. It's hosted by us, with audio production by Ellie. Our production assistant is Krista Murison, and various other shenanigans are done by me.
If you want to support the podcast, you can rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. It helps other people find the show and lets them know that it's worth listening to. So do it.
If you want to join our Patreon, you get access to ad-free episodes, our special Patreon-only bonus episodes, which, as a reminder, our next one is coming out next week. You get access to our Discord chat, all sorts of good stuff. You can find that at bit.ly/.
If you want to get some Let's Hang Out merch, it is the perfect time to do so and get some holiday gifts for all the queers in your life at bit.ly/lesshop.
Remember, we also have a queer production company where we are making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings. You can find everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
Or at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame. They're up on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out. There's a little girl who's in the dark, licking her wounds, building a truth where she's not. Second fiddle, second in command. Stick to the plan. Reach out your hand like there is some.
You're such an idiot. But now I've fallen.